Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And this is going live on Monday, so
happy Halloween!
That's right. Some people thought we would skip this week or miss this week. No, Haunt Weekly doesn't mean weekly when it's convenient or weekly when our lives aren't crazy. No, it means weekly.
Yeah. Ugh.
Dang it. We should have bought a better domain.
Yeah.
But anyways, happy Halloween. I hope your season is going well as we enter the latter part of it.
Yes.
And much spookiness and much good business has been happening.
Yeah, well, judging from the lack of Halloween supplies left in stores and the lines through our haunt and at others that we visited, I think everybody's, at least in this region, seems to be very interested this year in Halloween.
Well, we've been seeing elsewhere, getting feedback from all over the nation.
Right.
Reading Facebook posts and comments and reviews. Yeah, it seems to be a nationwide phenomenon. It seems to be a big deal this year, so I'm very happy about that. It's kind of sucky Halloween's on a Monday.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is, and we move on.
Well, and here it's going to be nice weather. It's been nice weather all weekend.
So here's the deal. We're doing the news.
Yep.
It's episode 48, divisible by 4, it's 12, blah, 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 news.
Yep.
You guys should know the drill by now.
Yep.
Anyways, we've got a lot to cover.
Yes, we do.
And so we're going to get through this quick. And here's the thing. This isn't all.
No, there's a lot more news from this season.
So I'm warning you now, in episode 52, which will be our 1 year anniversary.
Yay!
We will probably be covering more news from October.
Yeah, probably.
So just be noticed. And it's entirely possible. Bear in mind, we're haunters too. We've been running around like chickens with our head cut off. If you sent us something and we didn't include it in this list, we're sorry. We'll almost certainly pick it up next time.
Yes.
It's no one's
fault. In
fact,
send it to us again if you still have it.
Please do. Send it to us multiple
just
times.
Remind us.
Tweet it at us at Haunt Weekly. Send it to us via Facebook at Haunt Weekly. Like, subscribe, share, thumbs up, tweet, at reply, all that good. Do that all that stuff.
Yep.
All right. So anyways, I'm David Pumpkins.
You are not.
I'm not David Pumpkins, but before I begin, I wanted to say, if you have not checked out the haunted elevator bit from SNL, please take a moment to do so. I'm going to put a link in the description. It's not news, per se.
No.
Other than it's probably some of the biggest media coverage the industry has gotten in a while.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun.
It's a very, very good bit. I rather enjoyed it. And here's the thing. We're going to come back to it in another episode. I actually think it's a really good how-to guide on how to scare people.
Yeah.
It's got some elements there that I really like. So we're coming back to it, but I'm really hoping we get some people showing up at our haunt dressed as David Pumpkins. That's gonna be fun. I don't know where they're going to find that suit on short notice, but it would be fun.
There are a couple of local stores that have it.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Nope. They've had it for a couple of years.
So David Pumpkins just went to the local, like, Steppin' Style or something and got a suit?
Well, yeah, it's actually Spirit, but yeah.
Oh, Spirit has it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
I just wasn't going to name names, but, all right, you know,
anyways,
you forced my hand.
I forced your hand. All right. Sorry about that, but let's kick off with the conference reminders that we usually do at this time.
We do.
So I'll kick off this week because I'm feeling aggressive, and I feel like silencing a female in haunting today.
I know.
We know how big I am on that. It's a joke.
I know.
But anyways, coming up right after season ends, it's the Legendary Haunt Tour. It's at the Fallmark Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's hosted by the people behind Trans World. They will be doing visits of Scare House and 100 Acres Manor. Learn more at legendaryhaunttour.com.
And then in January, so we're skipping December altogether, going January 14th through 17th, Halloween and Party Expo right here in New Orleans, 350 vendors, requires business verification, halloweenpartyexpo.com for more info, and if you are in town, let us know, because we want to hang out some.
Yeah, hang out, we'll go get drinks or do something, or I don't know, we'll figure it out.
Tell you where the locals go to experience New Orleans, haha.
That may not be wise to have us be your guide on that. I mean, we are locals.
Yeah.
But we're also terrible human beings. But then again, we're haunters.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all comes around. Well, if you're not feeling that, maybe you want to go to a slightly more island climate. You can go to Corn Party, January 17th through 20th, on multiple islands in Hawaii. It's for operators of corn mazes, and you can learn more at The Maze, that's TheMaize.com, The Maze. Get it? Maze, like corn, Crystal. It's a joke. You're not laughing, Crystal. Okay, you may continue.
You just keep throwing me under the bus today, huh? It's going to be one of those podcasts.
We're all tired as heck. That's the problem.
So then January 26th through 30th, we have HauntCon. It is in Nashville, Tennessee at the Sheraton Nashville Airport. Tours of Haunted Hell Nashville on Thursday night, Nashville Nightmare on Saturday, and Slaughterhouse.
Yes.
And HauntCon.com for more info.
I think Slaughterhouse on the 30th. I'm sorry the notes got cut off there.
That's okay. I'm just going to assume that that's Sunday, yes, right? Yeah. Or Monday?
Yeah, Monday I think it is.
Okay.
All right, anyways. But yes, learn more at HauntCon.com.
Yes, and be sure to watch for their early bird specials. They do end early.
They do actually end early. They may have already ended, in fact.
Yes, they may have.
But for early bird specials that don't end, if that's more your bag, Trans World's Halloween and Attraction Show is March 23rd through 26th in St. Louis, Missouri, at the America Center. Early bird discounts get you $50 off through March, right, basically right before opening. And you can learn more at the HaShow.com. It's HaShow.com.
Then finally, June 8th through 11th, we have the Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio, at the Greater Columbus Center. All of this information is going to be announced later, whenever
yes,
it gets closer.
It's a little early.
It is a little early. So MidwestHauntersConvention.com to watch out for any specials they may be running and more info as it becomes available.
Especially about their haunt tours. They always have great haunt tours at that conference.
Yes.
Silly excited about that. Squee! Yes, I squeed.
Yes, I heard.
So anyways, we're doing the news, and I'm going to be straight with you guys. This is a bit of a downer episode.
No kidding.
I really wish it weren't. I really wish it was all sunshine, puppies, and rainbows, or in our cases, murder, death, and gore. But there's a lot of that, but not in the good sense. But
yeah.
Yes, it is kind of a depressing episode. So if you are listening to this right as we post this at about mid-afternoon on Halloween night, Halloween day, and you really want to enjoy your Halloween night without a bummer, stop here and pick it back up later.
Yep.
I completely understand. Check us out November 1st. It's okay. We will still be here. This recording is not going anywhere.
Yes.
But to continue, since we do not have that luxury, we will start off with a haunt that will not be.
Thank goodness.
It's a It was called The Room. It was a Chicago-based haunted attraction. Technically a Hell House.
Yeah, and it's more of a Hell House, and it's not based off the movie The Room, which is a
honestly, I would totally go to a haunted attraction based upon the hi, Mark.
Yeah, just from around random corners. Just, that would be interesting.
Yes,
but
I can play the part of Tommy Wiseau. I even look it.
You could. But that's not what this is.
No. This was a Hell House put on by a local church. And they were going to feature, they drew controversy for their attempt to feature scenes involving the Pulse nightclub shooting.
Right.
And you remember the largest mass shooting in U.S. history, I believe.
Yeah.
The gay club in Miami.
Yeah.
And terrible, terrible tragedy. They're also going to feature the recent Charleston church shooting.
Yeah.
As well as other actual, you know, horrible things that happened. And Hell Houses are weird. We actually did a whole podcast on them a while back.
Yeah, we did that, and I think we also touched on them in our ethics episode.
Yes, we did.
So,
yeah, those are the two episodes. And the Hell House one, I'm trying to find the episode number for anyone who's curious. But, yeah, I mean, they don't play by the rules of haunted attractions. That, you know, we know.
Right. Yeah, it's not made up.
Sorry, Hell House was episode 19.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine.
I'll sit here and drink.
Yeah. Yeah, but basically they take stories out of the news and make them examples, usually the victims, examples of why you should turn your faith to whatever religion they are trying to get you to turn it to.
Whatever specific branch of, usually Christianity.
Yeah.
At that time. And, yeah, and they were, and this one was going to feature, like I said, the Pulse nightclub shooting, as well as other things. And the it's interesting, you know, the part about this that scared and really unnerved a lot of people was that it was going to be held at an elementary school.
Right.
A public school.
Yes.
And basically, this when the flyers were being distributed and some people saw them, they got upset.
Well, it wasn't only that, but it was also a call for actors.
Yeah.
That specifically said to play the victims.
Yes. The public school system in Chicago basically pulled the plug, said they denied them use of the space, and the event was only going to be open the 29th and the 30th.
Right.
But it was unable to secure a new location in time, and did not open this year.
Yeah, because apparently when they pitched the idea to the school board, they did not say what they were actually doing.
Really?
Yes.
You don't say. No, it was super, super suspicious that they got approved. So, yes, I strongly suspect that they outright, you know, lied or buried important information at the very least.
Right.
But, yes, the event was canceled following that. But, yeah, it's interesting. Go ahead and Google Haunted House News this season. This is clearly number one in, like, Google News.
Yes.
Has hundreds of articles written about it.
Right.
So, like, most of the stuff are pulling off local news sites. This one was actually national news in a big, big way. Mm-hmm. He hit a real nerve. And, you know, here's the thing. I've talked about it before. I defend haunted attractions as an art form.
Yes.
And I also defend it against people who are offended by it.
Yeah.
I do understand that. But, at the end of we are also still an entertainment industry as well. And part of that is showing a modicum of sensitivity.
Just a little bit.
And, you know...
Well, and the thing is I don't think that this was designed to be a fun, entertainment, scary experience.
Hell Houses in general are not.
Exactly. So I have trouble with them being in the same business line as us. You know,
it's not just Hell Houses. There are a lot of businesses that I think of being haunted attraction adjacent.
Right.
If you will, that are not actually haunted attractions that I do not want anything to do with.
Yeah.
And I would say Hell Houses are one, and some of these extreme haunts like McCamey Manor are the other. To me, they're not haunted attractions.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell they are, but they're not on the attractions.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be associated with them either. So, there you go. Well, turning our attention to Ireland for a minute, oddly enough.
Right.
Haunted attractions in Ireland? I'm curious already. Unfortunately, it's not good news.
Right.
Tato Park, a amusement park near Dublin, had an accident where a staircase collapsed on the way. Apparently, it was part of a haunted attraction called the House of Horrors, which I guess no points for originality.
Right.
but it collapsed and injured 9 people. Now, thankfully, the injuries are all minor. It seems the worst was a fracture, is how it's described. And I don't know if that means broken leg or broken arm, but... You know, it's a broken bone was the worst of the injuries.
Right.
Thankfully. But, I mean, it seems like a lot went wrong here. Basically, 15 people were on the staircase.
Yeah.
It collapsed. 9 were injured. And the ambulance took 40 minutes to arrive.
Yeah, which is just weird because you would think that they would have an ambulance on site at an amusement park.
Man, I can't flipping sneeze at Disney World without one of their medics trying to wipe my nose half the time. You know, you go to most amusement parks in the U.S. at least, there are security and medical personnel everywhere.
Yeah.
You can't sneeze. So, I'm this idea of an accident happens and having to wait 40 minutes for medical treatment.
Right.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, and the park has reopened.
Yes, they reopened the Monday after. It happened Saturday the 22nd. They reopened the Monday the 24th.
Right, and the event had the tagline, "Will you survive?" Well, these people have a different takeaway of that than the other customers this season.
You know, and that's one of the things. Okay, the "Will you survive?" tagline is a perfectly fine tagline for a haunted attraction.
Oh, yeah.
I have no issue with it. But it really comes back to bite you when something happens. And I'm only chuckling because, like I said, nobody was seriously hurt.
Right.
So, thankfully, it's all A-okay in the end. I mean, it should not have happened, but it could have been much, much worse, basically.
Yeah. So, maybe future topic, building codes for haunts and foreign lands and how they stack up.
You know, and I was thinking about this as I was reading this article and doing these show notes. The haunted attractions we visited in other countries had no discernible building codes.
Oh, no, not at all.
That we would wreck. Like, the one we did in Budapest was basically they gave our ass a lantern and told us to roam around these caves.
Yes.
I'm not actually exaggerating.
No, caves underneath the city with signs that would tell you directions you could go.
Kind of.
Well, okay, so there were signs pointing out where tunnels were, but not where to go to find your way out.
Yeah. it's a very bizarre attraction. And plus, all you had is this little gaslight lantern. So we're like going up to these signs, pressing the lantern against them, like, okay, it kind of has a squiggle there.
Yeah.
You know? That squiggle looks a little bit like the part we're in. So, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, maybe this is something to think about, because in the U.S., we love to bitch and complain about the building codes and the fire codes and all that, and for good reason. We as an industry do get sort of a bitter pill and an unfair shake here a lot of the time, yet the codes are there for a reason.
Yeah, they keep people safe.
And I'm just going to assume that there's been no similar stair collapses in the United States this season.
Yeah, not that we've heard of, although we did go to that one haunted experience.
Oh, we're not even talking about that yet.
We're
coming back to them in a later podcast.
I think we already touched on them last time.
Yeah, they had a scare on the stairs.
Yeah, well, not only that, but their building code did not exist.
Yeah. So, there's that.
Yeah, so moving on.
Yeah, if anyone gives us hell about our building codes, I know what I'm saying next.
Please go over there.
Anyways. So, okay, now this one's an interesting one. It deals with I don't honestly know how to say it. It wasn't said in the video. Thule, Utah, haunted attraction known as Asylum 49. A teenager went there and said that it was too much for her, that it was a full contact haunt, but she walked away with significant bruises and other injuries.
Right.
So, yeah, full contact haunt.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a difference between contact and bruising people. You know, and it was unclear at parts of the interview whether or not the bruises happened from being grabbed or from running and hitting the props.
Yeah.
So it's under investigation, though.
Yeah, the police are investigating this, and there's still an open investigation. There's nothing. I'm sure this might be the subject of a future news episode.
Right. We'll have to do a follow up if we can find what comes out of the investigation on it.
But
they did have 44 cameras inside covering the haunt. So,
yes, they at least had adequate camera coverage. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that I've never really understood about these full contact haunts. And we've been to one haunt this year that made us do it. It was the one in Poplarville.
Right.
Where you sign a waiver.
Yes.
And they do that too. You can't... You cannot consent to be assaulted.
Right.
It is physically and legally impossible. The haunt community needs to communicate some with the BDSM community on this issue. Yeah. I know that sounds like... Maybe it's a completely appropriate communication, or it sounds like a weird communication, but here's the thing. They deal with these issues all the time.
Right.
And so they really know this stuff. Signing a waiver like that means nothing. I can still withdraw my consent at any time.
Yeah.
So that's A. And B is, this girl was under 18.
Yeah.
She can't sign a contract.
Nope. Not legally binding. So.
So there's that.
Yeah. So if you expect your customers to be under 18, any of them, then your waiver system is not going to work.
Yeah. It always blows my mind that haunts try to use these waivers. And it's not... I don't know.
I mean, if it was just a silly, here, sign a waiver, we don't really mean this to be legal protection for us
thing.
Which
is largely what Poplarville was, if we're going to be straight.
Yeah. Then, you know, that's one thing. But if it's like this haunt trying to use it as legal protection, then that's an issue.
And I watched their little promo video. I don't know if you did that. I checked out their site and watched their promo video. A, they have an absolutely horrid rules/FAQ page. Mm-hmm. I won't go into that right now. But their promo video shows people basically getting pinned to the ground by a mob of actors and all this stuff. And I realize it's hyperbole for the point of selling the haunt.
Right.
Because it's obvious that the two people featured, the two customers, and can't see the air quotes I'm throwing up here.
No, they can't.
In the video are actually, you know, actors.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can't sign away your right to not be assaulted. That's not how this works.
Nope.
And so, if she withdrew her consent to be touched and to be assaulted at any point,
yep,
and it continued,
yep,
then there's still a legal trouble, no matter how many waivers she signed, no matter how of age she was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, this is why I do a no-touch haunt.
It is.
This is literally it. This is the reason.
Yep.
I would love to mess with people more. I would love to go harder on this.
Right.
But then you have that problem.
Yeah.
And also, safe words don't help either.
No. Because, yeah.
Because you can withdraw consent through other means than a safe word.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the problem we're actually having this season so far is that parents will bring their kids, and the kids are screaming the safe word, and the parents are making them finish.
Yeah, we actually had one mom, and I know I've seen it on the security cameras, covering up the kid's mouth.
Yeah.
As he was trying to do it.
Yeah.
I've been parsing the security camera footage, trying to get some good scares.
Right.
And yeah, I saw one mom, the kid, obviously, because we have a safe word type thing.
Right.
And we're no touch haunt, but we don't want anyone who is too scared or too intimidated to be continuing.
Right.
But it's a easy word to identify when someone mouths it.
Yeah.
Even in silent security camera footage.
Right.
And so I'm seeing this kid yell the word, and mom's grabbing him and covering his mouth. And it's man, that's like...
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we're going to have a whole podcast on consent in haunted attractions.
Yeah.
Because this is a big topic, and it's getting bigger because consent is a topic of national discussion these days.
It is.
And so we as an industry need to have a conversation about it too. That should be something for the topic list at some point.
Well, if my computer were running better right now, I would put it on there.
Okay, we'll just remember to do it later. We'll make a note that Crystal's computer is being a whiny baby right now.
Yes.
All right. Now, another unfortunate and tragic story. In San Jose, California, the haunt, the Bernal Scream, which I gotta say, I love the name.
Yeah.
I'm digging the name. was hit not once, but twice by burglars.
Yeah. It's just, come on, guys.
Okay, A, can I have an aside with the robbers? Robbers, I know you're probably not listening to me, but we need to have a chat about this. If you're going to rob a haunted attraction, you don't do it during haunt season.
Right.
You do it afterward. You do it when the stuff's in storage and no one's paying attention.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, at almost every haunt in the country right now, someone is there pretty much 24/7. You're idiots. All of you. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, so obviously, that was not real advice that Jonathan was giving out.
But no, it is an interesting question. How stupid do you have to be to hit a haunted house
during its busiest time of year?
Yeah. That is a level of insanity or a testicular fortitude I am not familiar with.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But no, I feel really bad for this father and son duo here, because they had done a home haunt for a long, long time.
Right.
They cobbled together the life savings, and they threw it at this haunted attraction, mm-hmm. and then thieves basically gutted the wiring in the haunt.
Right. And they took the speakers, and they...
All the electronics they could get their hands on.
Yeah, and destroyed anything they didn't take.
Well, according to the article, they destroyed a lot of stuff on accident.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't... Like, they didn't know how to unbracket some wires, so they just, like, ripped it.
Yeah.
And the result was it just went... And frayed and sprayed everywhere, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, through a combination of ineptitude and rush and not knowing what's going on, they did as much damage as they did stealing.
Yeah.
And that's really, really angering to me.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is they did launch a GoFundMe campaign.
Right.
And they've raised almost $3,000 to repair
right.
the damage.
So this could end on a good note.
This could end on a good note for them. And they can still, despite everything, break even this year if their last few nights are good.
Right.
Now, we do not know that as we are recording this. But guys at the Bernal Scream, we are rooting for you here.
Yes, and if anybody is near enough to go there mm-hmm. and support them, please do so.
Yes, these guys...
Just because, you know,
we as a community have to fight against this type of stuff. This,
right.
This hurts everyone when
yeah.
this type of stuff happens. So please, Bernal Scream, kick ass and keep those doors open. We're pulling for you.
Yep.
And another haunt we're pulling for.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's been one of those episodes, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Ever Scream Haunted Trail at the Evergreen Raceway near Drums, Pennsylvania. I did not know there was a town called Drums, Pennsylvania, but there is. They were opening up a haunted trail for charity purposes. And shortly after opening, vandals broke in and destroyed nearly 90% of the decorations and stuff they built.
Right, including two loaned cars, it looks like.
Yeah, two cars that were loaned to them for use during season, but would be taken back. And the video of this, and definitely this is one of those cases where this one, check out the video to see the damage. Because these vandals didn't just... When I say they destroyed the cars,
right?
I'm not being hyperbolic here.
Right.
Because they actually took large boulders and threw it through the roof of the car.
Yeah.
And the windshield of the car.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. I don't get why people do that stuff.
Robbery is a crime I understand.
Yeah.
You know, it's usually a crime of some degree of desperation. Why you would steal from a haunted house, I don't know. That's a bit weird, but... Robbery, I get. Vandalism is just assholery raised to a new level.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we've been very lucky not to have any problems here with that.
We had a vandal
problem.
Well,
other than the 1 year.
We had 1 year a vandal problem.
Yeah.
But it has not been a recurring theme here.
Nope.
So, yeah, the attraction had to be temporarily closed.
Yes.
But the volunteers there, apparently they have about a dozen volunteers. They busted their asses mm-hmm. to get this attraction back open. They worked for almost a week straight.
Yeah.
Repairing, repainting, rebuilding, and even though they say the haunt is not quite back to where it was, they were able to open within a week.
Yeah. Which is amazing, because have you tried to build a haunted house in a week?
They have, and they apparently succeeded.
Exactly.
So, I mean, mad props to these guys.
Yeah.
Keeping the spirit alive, and watching the interviews with them, the determination, the drive. I was genuinely touched and impressed, and honestly, this season, it was the boost I needed.
Yeah.
Seeing their determination, how they're not letting this get in their way.
Right.
Because we've had some tomfoolery this year that we'll talk about in a future episode.
Yeah,
we're still a little too close to it, I think, to discuss it now.
Yeah.
But we'll come around to it later, I promise. We're going to make it to 52. There's no way in hell we're stopping this short of a year.
No.
So you're guaranteed 4 episodes.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I needed that boost, and seeing these guys being so determined, it helped me.
Right.
So there you go.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Fair.
All right, now, let's shift to some happier news, finally.
Please.
I like this one a lot. Go San Jose again. Bob Shiro? Is that how you say that? Shiro? I think it's Shiro, actually. Has created a massive 3-story facade for his house, shaped like the Hotel de Anza. Though he calls it the Hotel Death Anza.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the Hotel de Anza is a major landmark in the San Jose era. It's a very, very iconic Art Deco style hotel. You'd probably recognize it if you saw it, actually. And he has built a replica in his front yard as a haunted attraction.
Which sounds awesome.
And we have seen this guy on, like, I think it was the Travel Channel did that Most Extreme Home Haunts thing. He was on that. And that year, he had built the pirate ship.
Yes.
Well,
I remember the pirate ship.
He's also done the Temple of Doom. And a bunch of other stuff. And apparently he has a deal with the church across the street from his house to use their parking. Which I'm sitting there thinking, I wish I had a church across the street from my house that would let me use their parking lot.
Yeah.
That'd be so nice. But no, this is really, really cool. And I'm really happy that he was able to do that.
Yeah.
I think I just skipped a story, didn't I?
You did. That's why I was so confused.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, we did have another sad story.
We did. We had one.
Yes, we did. Okay, we'll do this one sad story and get back to the interesting stuff, at least. This one deals with St. Paul, Minnesota, though. Ed Johnson was trying to build a 10-room temporary haunted house at his home, doing the other home haunt here. A city inspector drove by, saw the work, and immediately gave him a stop work order.
Yep. He was asking for $2 donations to fundraise for the Lupus Foundation.
And his daughter was diagnosed with lupus.
Yeah.
I think it's the correct way to phrase that one.
Right.
So it's an issue dear to his heart. And there's a lot of dispute over this. This is pretty bizarre because he's saying it's temporary. The city believes it to be permanent.
Right.
City's saying he never provided engineering plans. He's saying in the comments they provided 3 different sets of plans. They're saying he didn't have emergency exits because in a haunt that size you would need them.
Right.
He's saying that they had 3. So there seems to be a lot of he said in this going on. And
right.
I'm not getting into the middle of that. But long and short of it is, even though he tried to work with the city, he was unable to open this year.
Yeah.
And that's just sad.
It is.
I hate seeing haunts that can't open.
I know.
It makes me go, boo.
Yeah. Although sometimes it is with good reason.
Yes.
Not in this case, necessarily.
No. Yeah.
But
well, this case, and this is one thing I found interesting here, is this guy works as a, he works in construction.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows all about building codes and things like that.
He's in the know on this stuff.
He's not just some Bob out there trying to build a random haunt.
Right.
With like plastic sheeting and and 2 narrow hallways. No, he's a guy who knows this stuff, and I genuinely believe him when he says he built things to code. Because he would know. probably right. better than us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I tend to take his side on this. And it's interesting to me, the reason I put these two stories together is because in San Jose, a guy builds a three-story facade and a haunted house in his front yard shaped like a damned hotel, and the city's totally cool. In St. Paul, he tries to build a small, not small, small, but a 10-room haunted house and gets shuttered.
Right.
It just goes to show how uneven the enforcement is sometimes.
Right.
For better or worse, anyways. Mm-hmm. So, this one's interesting. Human bones were found in a casket at a haunted attraction.
Yeah. That reminds me of the story of the guy in wax.
Yeah, I was trying to remember his name, and I'm pulling it up because it's going to drive me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, while you look that up, I'll go into this one.
Yes.
It's Terror on the Fox Haunted House in Wisconsin. Years ago, someone donated a 19th century casket, and apparently remains were still in it.
Yes. Which, that sounds like something you should check for.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, there was no reason to open the casket if it was in a scene where it didn't require it.
Well, I meant you would check it before you donated it.
Well, yeah.
Okay, and by the way, the story you're thinking of is Elmer McCurdy.
Ah.
We'll talk more in detail about it, but the long and short of it is, he was a man who was killed in 1911. His body was coated in wax, because he had no one to claim his body, basically. And it was used as a prop initially for people to put money in his mouth, like good luck or something.
Right.
I don't get that one, all right? But basically, he was passed around as a prop from owner to owner to owner until they completely forgot there was a real human being inside it.
Yes, until one day his arm broke.
It broke off and there was a real bone in there. So
yeah.
It's a pretty morbid story. You can look up the Wikipedia page on Elmer McCurdy. It's
I'm
got
sure
story.
It'll be in the show notes, too.
Yeah. But yeah, so that reminds me of that too, except a little less gory.
Well, yeah.
But
these
yeah.
were they actually thought these were medical skeletons because they were apparently in immaculate condition.
Yeah. It's interesting because as the article notes, they received the donation years ago.
Yeah.
Which is like, A, who the hell is donating 19th century caskets? And can I get their number, please?
Yeah, no kidding.
But they donated it, and the haunted attraction didn't have an immediate use for it.
Mm-hmm.
So just threw them in the storage.
Yeah.
And there they sat. And then, this year, apparently, they were going to bring them out of storage as they were doing a renovation and use them.
Right.
Opened them, and surprise, skeleton!
Yep.
Surprise, bones!
Pre-skeleton.
So, I've already been threatening to quarter and draw some people this year, so...
Yeah.
Let's don't tempt me.
No kidding.
But, yeah. So, yeah, I've not heard of this happening other than the Elmer McCurdy thing. So, interesting?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't blame the haunt for this. I seriously think whoever donated it had the duty to check and make sure there wasn't an actual body in the casket.
Well, of course.
I find it very, very strange that they didn't. Sorry about that.
What?
And our final story this week deals with the Warehouse of Fear in Siloam Springs.
Right.
Which has employed a 93-year-old haunter.
Yay! It gives me hope.
Oh, yes, it does. And this is in Arkansas, by the way. Siloam Springs, Arkansas.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the Warehouse of Fear has employed 93-year-old Mary Lou Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Who is playing the role of a nursing home patient that was pushed too far is the only descriptor they would give. She said that she loves the job.
Yeah.
But that she's really looking forward to using the money to help with her Christmas expenses.
Oh,
but you see, I'm like
perfect.
You. When I saw this story, like the very first thought I had was, oh goody, there's got to be almost 60 years of haunting left for me.
Right, exactly. You know, at least.
Life expectancy is only going to grow, right?
Right.
But yeah, I'm really glad for this, because it's like I was thinking the other day, haunting really is a young person's game in many ways.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of older people in haunted attractions. And no. I think part of that is because older people did not grow up with haunted houses.
Right. Well, and by older, we mean like over...
I would say over 65 to 70.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because we see adults.
Oh, yeah, we see adults, and we see middle-aged, and we see even, you know... Yeah, I guess it would say later in career adults.
Right.
But we don't get a lot of what I guess the UK would call pensioners.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but sure, but why not? We're running it.
We're running with it. But like, we don't see people above like age 60, it seems. Seems like the cutoff.
Yeah.
I can name haunters I know up to that point, and then I can't, I don't know any.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to find some of these guys and talk to them. But it's interesting because, like I said, we think about haunts, especially if you're like my age. I'm in my 30s. You know, you think like me, it seems like haunted attractions have always been a thing.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with the JC haunts. I grew up with dark rides.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's weird. I'm kind of like at the perfect age to have really grown up with the evolution of haunted houses.
Right.
Because I went to some of those early JC haunts, I rode those dark rides, and then I've been on, you know, seen how the industry's progressed. But, yeah, you go back even just 50-odd years, there's not much there. There's some rides at fairs, and those dark rides might have still existed.
Right.
But as far as, like, walk-through haunted attractions like we have now, not very common.
No, not really.
So it's a very interesting thing to think, to see someone of clearly advanced years, mm-hmm. Acting in a haunt, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, definitely. I could find some uses for someone of advanced years.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's, you know, and I mean, maybe nursing home patients a little too on the nose for my taste.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It's a little too obvious, but we can see where it goes.
Yeah, it's not, like I said, a terrible idea. It's just a little bit too on the point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. This has been a very interesting season, has it not?
It has been.
It has been one, I think, at least in the news, one fraught with frustration. But, you know, and I think that's partly because the haunts that are just having good, successful runs.
Right.
And are out there doing their thing and scaring people and making money and not closing and not being robbed and not being vandalized. They're not making the news.
Well, yeah, no news is good news.
Right. In some ways, that's true. But, yeah, I don't know. And the one good thing I do see in this is, other than what happened in Ireland.
Yeah.
None of the bad news was customer-facing.
Right.
I mean, what happened in Ireland is definitely a deep concern for me.
Right.
Because, you know,
Because you know how often we talk about safety on this podcast.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's like I always believe. We want haunted attractions to feel like the least safe place on the planet.
Right.
But to be among the safest.
Yes.
We want you to feel like you're in mortal danger, not actually be in it. Right. I liken it to a roller coaster pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Where, you know, as long as you're medically fit for this, you should be safe. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be the way it is, but, you know, unless you have a stair collapse.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's unfortunate, but like I said, there's been a lot of negative news, but that's the nature of the news, is that it's going to be negative.
Yeah.
So, all in all, how do you think this season has been going? For the haunts we visited, the haunt we run, everything in general, how do you feel about this season?
I think it's been very good so far, and lots of people out and interested this year.
Yeah, I think we're going to do a detailed... A sort of a deconstruction of the season after this. But really, my impression this season has been we have seen a lot of haunts being very experimental.
Yeah.
Doing some new and novel thing. We had the artisanal haunt podcast last week, I believe it was.
Right.
We've seen a lot of that. But the haunts we've been to, we have been seeing and reading and hearing about really good lines. It seems as if people are taking Halloween very seriously this year. And one of my metrics, and I know it's not scientific, no one said it was, but one of my metrics is always driving around my own neighborhood.
Yeah.
And seeing the decorations and seeing who's lit up and who's doing the holiday.
Right.
And I've been seeing a lot.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why I love my morning jog. I can see what the neighborhood's doing.
Yeah.
And my impression this season has been that it's very active with Halloween. So I'm hoping that is the experience you guys have been having too.
Yes.
Well, I don't have anything else to add right now, so we might cut it a few minutes short. So that way we can get back to scaring people.
Yay!
Yay! Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, episode number 48, doing the news, and episode number 12 of the news. We will see you guys next time, and hopefully, we'll be just a little bit less exhausted. But I have a feeling you can understand.
If anyone can, they can.
If anyone can, they can. We'll see you guys next time.